Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and today we'll be talking about two quite different topics, National Unity Day and a conference of the World Anti-Doping Agency, WADA, that could be overshadowed by a new or renewed scandal that may keep Russia out of the Tokyo Olympics next year. My guest is RFERL Enterprise Editor Carl Schreck. Carl, welcome, and thanks for doing the show with me this week.
Thanks, Steve. Great to be here.
All right. First, I'd like to talk about National Unity Day, which is today, November 4th, in Russia. It marks what Russia calls the state calls the liberation of Moscow from Polish forces in 1612. Now, this is a holiday that was introduced during President Vladimir Putin's second term in 2005. And it basically replaced the November 7th holiday, which had, of course, marked the Bolshevik Revolution, but since 1996 had been called the Day of Accord and Reconciliation. So essentially, it seems Putin wanted to preserve a holiday at the same time of year, but get rid of the association of the holiday with the Bolshevik Revolution and the communist era. The newer holiday also fits in well with Putin's ongoing effort to instill patriotism in Russians and increase the sense of national unity. And the word national here implies unity among the diverse ethnic groups of Russia, in addition to the more general sense of unity of everyone in the country. Now, Putin talks about this issue often. I think in his last few State of the Nation speeches, he's addressed it, saying we have to do everything together. Though critics actually accuse him of undermining unity in some cases, notably recently, in what activists say are policies that are threatening the language and customs of minorities, such as Tartars and Udmurts and others, rather than fostering those languages and customs. But in any case, one thing that's interesting this year is a recent poll by state-funded Vitsiom found ahead of this National Unity Day that most Russians, 54%, do not believe that there is national unity in Russia today. That's actually a big change. It's not the highest amount who do not consider over the past several years, but it's a big change from 2017 when the same proportion, 54%, said that there was national unity. So it looks like this is kind of a persistent problem for Putin. Carl, do you think the Kremlin has made inroads on this issue over the years? And how big a potential problem do you believe that ethnic bias or lack of unity is for Russia?
Well, given the Russia's broad cultural and ethnic diversity, this issue is would be a difficult one to balance for any Russian leader. I think, in my opinion, what the Kremlin sees is kind of a bigger threat to stability as concerns unity, I think is more about socioeconomic disparity, and you could see that with the in the pension reform plans that the Kremlin had to walk on eggshells with in order to implement. And it got me thinking back to when this holiday first was introduced in 2005. And it was essentially kind of co-opting a holiday that the Communist Party adherents would go out and celebrate. And it was the same year that there was a huge backlash, particularly among pensioners and among the communists, over a plan to abolish benefits for pensioners and swap them out for cash payments. And this is, the people who took to the streets are generally from the same ranks as the communists who would celebrate this Revolution Day. Under the previous holiday, so it's just I can't say if that it was necessarily implemented as a direct reaction to those protests, but the timing is interesting, and of course I always find it fascinating that now they have the annual military parade in Russia on November 7th. And that parade during Soviet times was held to commemorate the 1917 Bolshevik Revolution. But the parade now is commemorating a 1941 parade commemorating the 1917 Bolshevik Revolution.
Right, exactly. And yeah, that's interesting that you mentioned that. Just kind of so they've changed, or under Putin, the holiday has been changed. The note from November 7th to November 4th, and celebrating an older, more kind of nationalist oriented event than the Bolshevik Revolution, certainly. And then also now the November 7th holiday is being used for this parade. So, or it's not a holiday, but it's being used for this, and that shows, you know, Putin in some ways. He did. It does seem like he wanted to get rid of the Bolshevik association with the holiday. But on the other hand, he's, you know, taking advantage of what he sees as positive aspects of Soviet history with the parade. Also, I mean, very interesting about what you mentioned about the kind of economic or socioeconomic, you know, concerns. And I think, you know, another thing that's related is also. Obviously, Putin sees a threat in terms of political, you know, political opponents. And I guess one thing that I would say plays into both of these, to all of these concerns, both the national unity or ethnic unity and the political and socioeconomic. There was another interesting event that was happening today alongside, not far from where Putin was speaking on Red Square in a ceremony with some religious leaders to mark National Unity Day, but at his administration, which is kind of down the street, a movement called Mothers Against Political Repressions. Members of this movement were picketing, doing like single person pickets outside the presidential administration, and this is a group that's newish and encompasses. Essentially, there encompasses various politically charged cases or arrests and jailings that the relatives and others of those arrested or jailed believe are politically motivated. That includes the Moscow protests this summer, the New Greatness Movement, and apparently also there were parents there whose children in Tatarstan and Bashkortostan, I believe, have been accused of membership in Hizb ut-Tahrir, which is an Islamic organization that says it's peaceful but is banned in Russia. I would think that those parents believe that what the state is doing in the case of their children, their relatives, is not promoting national unity. So, you know, that's another event that's going on today. Meanwhile, the nationalist marches that used to be, you know, pretty prominent have been for the past, I guess, several years, kind of pushed to the outskirts, or not the outskirts, but not quite in the center of Moscow.
Yeah, regarding the Mothers Against Political Repressions, Memorial, the organization which keeps a running tally of people it considers political prisoners or prisoners of conscience, that number has gone up, has really spiked in recent years. I did not look at the figures right before we came up here, but I want to say it's put together, I think it's around more than 300 300 people that it deems either political prisoners or prisoners of conscience, and a lot of those numbers are that spike can be attributed directly to a huge jump in the number of Hizb ut-Tahrir cases, as well as Jehovah's Witnesses, and now with the Moscow protests, that number is inching up more as well.
All right, so that's quite interesting. I mean, Putin does as I think he showed on Red Square today. Probably, you know, he gathers different leaders of religious groups, not always the so-called four traditional ones, but then others are kind of shunted aside or treated as, you know, in some cases, extremists. So I guess shifting gears now, as they say on CNN, 20 years after its founding, there's a three-day conference of the World Anti-Doping Agency, or WADA, in Poland this week. It starts tomorrow. I think there's a meeting or a press conference today, but it starts tomorrow. Now, the specific issue of new or renewed concerns about Russian doping and related practices is not on the agenda from what I've read, but it does threaten to overshadow the conference. The main agenda items are the election of a new WADA president, and there was apparently a competition between one who would want to be tougher on on certain infractions and one who would be less tough, but also the adoption of a new doping code that's expected to be more lenient toward recreational drug use when it's not deemed an effort to boost athletic performance. But as I said, the scandal the renewed scandal over Russian doping comes a few years after WADA determined that Russia operated a state-sponsored doping program. And as a result, Russian athletes were barred from competing under the Russian flag at the Rio Olympics in 2016. So it's a bit complex. It's sort of been developing pretty much the whole year. But what's happened now is essentially that suspicions have been raised that electronic data about blood samples, the data that was handed over to WADA investigators early this year, was manipulated. In this case, it's not just Russia against others kind of debating or arguing the issue. There's been vocal infighting within Russia, within the sports community, I guess, in Russia, over the problem. In an interview with Current Time last week, the relatively new head of RUSADA blamed the sports minister for the problem, at least in part. So there's a lot of actually accusations flying between the groups in sports and doping-related issues in Russia. And now there's a chance that Russia could be barred again from the Tokyo Olympics. Carl, how important do you think it is for Putin? I mean, he had Sochi in 2012. How important do you think it is for Putin to have Russia compete in the Tokyo Olympics next summer?
Oh, yeah, of course, it's very important. I mean, Putin has made sports a real pillar of national pride during his nearly 20 years in power. And so what I see, the approach I see from him and from the Kremlin is, I would say, twofold. First is to, as much as possible, quietly deal with this issue with international sporting authorities and anti-doping authorities, because he certainly does seem to want it to go away, and certainly the Kremlin wants Russia's athletes in the Olympics. And secondly is also, I would say, the second track is to kind of lay the groundwork for the case in which further accusations might come their way, and kind of portray them as part of a broader international attack on Russia. I mean, you can see this. I think it was a few years ago. He said the whistleblower Grigory Rodchenkov suggested that, you know, hinted that Western authorities were using him or in cahoots with him to tarnish Russia's image. And so expect the Kremlin to try and deal with this as quietly as possible and not make make as little fuss as possible, while at the same time preparing to launch a counterattack should they face more accusations.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with that. I misspoke earlier. I said the Sochi Olympics were in 2012, but it was 2014, of course. One thing I think, it's hard not to suspect with this kind of infighting over this it's hard not to suspect that there's a kind of a good cop, bad cop situation going on. And that maybe that this is a tactic to avert this problem, before it becomes too, bigger. And kind of isolate the problem and because, you know, the way the Rusada chief, his name is Yuri Ganus, I believe, he's presenting this as a problem caused by others. And so if you can, I think maybe the Kremlin thinks if you can kind of isolate this and show, look, there's a group here that's trying to do good, and we're gonna take care of it. Essentially, that may be part of the strategy for dealing with this renewed kind of scandal over doping and related issues. So I don't know. I mean, we have less than a year to go until Tokyo. There may be an answer. If not at this WADA conference, then presumably by the end of the year. And I guess that's it for today. Thanks very much, Carl. I appreciate your being on the show.
Great to be here, as always.
All right. Tune in next time. And also, please have a look at my Week in Russia article, which comes out on Fridays. Thanks for listening.